restart. So on Friday, we discussed the symmetries of Cooper pair wave function. That is to say, let's imagine that there is some attractive interactions between two electrons in the presence of a non-interacting Fermi C. So we have a filled Fermi C of electrons, and we have two electrons that are interacting via a potential which is attractive. Now we argued from symmetry reasons that we are looking at wave function which must represent a bound state of two electrons. So for this wave function to be finite when R1 minus R2 is a small quantity, the wave function must be symmetric in position space. That means if we want a wave function of two fermions, the sign change under exchange must come from the spin part of the wave function. So we assumed, or we concluded, that the spin part of this wave function must be a spin singlet. So now, starting with this symmetry, or this general form, this is still a general form of the wave function. We are going to now go to the center of mass and relative coordinates. Now, center of mass coordinate will only have kinetic energy because the interaction potential, we discussed electron-electron interactions mediated by phonons, it's attractive, and it's only dependent on the relative coordinate between the electrons. So when we go from R1, R2 to relative and center of mass coordinate, the center of mass coordinate is only going to contribute to kinetic energy term. Now we can minimize the energy by setting the momentum of center of mass to zero. What that means is that this Cooper pair wave function will involve two electrons with relative momentum k and minus k. So now we are going to solve the two particle Schrödinger equation, but because we already have minimized the energy in center of mass coordinate, the equation that we are going to solve is only for the relative coordinate, and it looks like this. So I'm going to write down the Laplacian in the relative and center of mass coordinate. Center of mass coordinate does not contribute anything. I'm also going to write down the energy, so h psi equal to e psi, the energy in this form. And it will be clear in this form that I have two electrons. And because I have a filled Fermi C, all the states below the Fermi C are occupied. So in principle, the energy of these two electrons should be greater than 2 times EF. EF is the Fermi energy. Now, the solution we are interested in is the bound state of these two electrons, which will be the solution with negative value of E. Any questions so far? So next we Fourier transform this equation. Here you have a product of two functions, so use convolution. What you will get is h bar square k square over m times psi k is sum over k prime VKK prime, psi k prime, so where VKK prime is Fourier transform of the potential, and this can be written as 1 over the system volume integral over the relative coordinate. Next, we are going to define another, so we can write this equation in the following form. Where this energy psi k, this is defined as h bar square k square over 2m minus the Fermi energy. So the values of k, which gives you the kinetic energy for the two electrons, must be greater than kf. So this is an assumption for this particular problem, for the Cooper problem. So if we start with the non-interacting electrons, they only have kinetic energy, and we'll fill at t equal to zero, zero temperature, we are going to fill up all the states depending on how many electrons we have, and we'll get the Fermi C. Now we have two more electrons. The kinetic energy of these two electrons must be greater than 2F. That implies that the K values that these two electrons can take must be greater than KF. So with this definition, I can simply, so I already have the equation that I want to solve. And it's this I will simply write as psi k is sum over k prime v k k prime psi k prime divided by e minus 2 psi k. Now this still involves v k k prime, and if we put in this form that we obtained for electron-electron interactions mediated by phonons, this will have some complicated structure. It will involve the properties of phonons. The idea of this problem is to ignore all the details of this attractive interaction and only keep the fact that it is attractive. So we are going to make a big simplification, and this is called on-shell approximation. What that means is we're going to assume that this potential VKK prime, this is minus V if you have the energies, these energies within a small shell. So we are later, so this so far we have been calling it epsilon K. So we can write down this approximation if epsilon k minus epsilon f. So let's try to understand what this approximation really means. Now, if this is my Fermi sphere, it has radius kf. For some values of k momentum around kf, I will have energies. So these are k values around kf. So these are energies, psi k or epsilon k minus epsilon f. When these energies are such that they're smaller than a cutoff, h bar omega c, all these, so within this energy window, the electrons are going to see the attractive potential. But if the energy of these electrons, so we have interaction potential kk prime, if the energy of these electrons is more than h bar omega c away from Fermi energy, then they're not going to interact at all. So what we are assuming is we have two electrons. They are attracted to each other, provided that the energy they have is within a small energy window around the Fermi energy. And this small energy window, we are calling h bar omega c. Any questions about this? So this will simplify the problem a lot. Now, this V simply comes outside the sum. And we can write this as V. So I have a minus sign, so I can just write it. Now, the notation here is I'm putting a star here. And what this star means is that you sum over all values of k prime such that this constraint is satisfied. Otherwise, my V is zero. That means psi k for those values would also be zero, right? So we are going to use this notation. Summation with a star means values of k such that this condition is satisfied. Yes?
Why is this a reasonable approximation?
Sorry?
Why is this approximation reasonable?
So this approximation is reasonable because the phonon interaction is short-ranged. So this is an assumption going in. But one would still argue that, okay, they're short-ranged, that gives you a cutoff, but this can still be a complicated function of kk prime, but for the moment, we are just ignoring it. So now in this equation, you can see that this quantity is a sum over k prime. So nothing in this quantity depends on k, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, on this equation, I'm going to sum over k star on both sides. So I'll get this, and then I will get sum over k star v psi k minus epsilon, sum over k prime, psi k prime star. Now, this on this side, left hand side, this is a summation over k. It's a dummy index. I can call it k prime and cancel it with this guy. Nothing here depends on k. Right? So this equation greatly simplifies, and the equation that I have to solve now is 1 over v is equal to sum over k star . Now, there are many ways to solve this equation. To get some intuition, what we can do is, so what we are interested in is calculating values of E, solving for the energy. And we would like this energy to be negative. So that would signify that there is a bound state of two electrons. Now, what we are going to do is we are going to plot the left-hand side of this equation and right-hand side of this equation as a function of E. So now let's look at this quantity 2 psi k. This is the definition. The k values that these electrons can have must be greater than kf. The lowest value, in fact, is kf, which means psi k is 0, which means the lowest value it can have is 0. When energy is just below 0, what we have is something that goes to infinity, but positive infinity. So at 0, so I have a divergence that's going here, and here it will be on this side, right? Now, in fact, we know that this the values that k can have, depending on the system size, when you impose boundary conditions, you'll have discrete values for this k. So there are many values of psi k that we have in this denominator. And for each of those values, when energy is equal to each of those values, 2 psi k, there is a divergence. But all of those values are going to be on this axis. Let's say these are the various values of 2 times psi k. And you can convince yourself that the system would look like this. The plot of the right-hand side of this equation. And so on. And I have one divergence that goes like this. You can also see that when E is minus infinity, it should go to 0. Now, this is the plot of right-hand side. Now, let me plot the left-hand side of the equation. Left-hand side of the equation is a constant, 1 over V. So here, we have assumed that V is greater than 0. So the interactions are attractive, minus V, such that V is greater than 0. So the left-hand side is just 1 over V, which is like this. So this is a constant 1 over V. So you can convince yourselves that there must be a solution of this equation that has value of energy which is negative. So this is the bound state that we are interested in. Now, one way to think of this bound state is that we have two electrons that must have their kinetic energy such that k is greater than kf. But this interaction, the attractive interaction, can compensate for this kinetic energy, and the total energy of this two-electron system can be lower than 2 times EF. So this is the Schrödinger equation, two particles Schrödinger equation. This energy can be lower than 2 EF. Any questions? Yes.
Vertical axis, that's like the smallest value of psi k, or?
So this is, I'm just plotting, is the value of left-hand side or the right-hand side. I'm plotting the two sides of the equation. So this, imagine that this is a function of E,
right,
and this is a function of E. And I'm plotting this function of E.
We have a sum of terms.
And yeah, so we have many values of 2 psi k, where, so this is a sum of over many terms, and there are many values of 2 psi k where this function will diverge, and I'm showing all of them. All of them are positive, and the lowest one is 0.
So
Now, with this approximation, we can make some further approximations and try to see if we can make some progress and get a solution analytically. We have already convinced ourselves that there must be a bound state. So what we are going to do is we are going to convert this sum over momentum into an integral over energy. So you saw how to do this when you calculated the Debye specific heat for solids. So you have sum over k, you can convert it to an integral over k, and then use the definition of density of state to go to an integral over energy. So what you can do is you will write this as 1 over v. And now the integral will involve integral over d psi. We have density of states. Let's call density of states g here. Now, this g of d, so this is that equation converted to sum over energy. Any questions? Now, this g of E is density of states. So this is still complicated to solve, to have an analytical expression. So approximation we are going to make here, remember one of your tutorial problems, you calculated density of states as a function of E for 3D systems, and you found that it goes as square root of E, right? Now, let's assume that this is Fermi energy, somewhere here. We are going to assume that this h bar omega c is much smaller. So, h bar omega c, the cutoff is much smaller than Fermi energy. So it's only this energy window is, so this is 2 h bar omega c. Within this small energy window, I can ignore the dependence from density of states by approximating this quantity by density of states at the Fermi energy. So this is the approximation. I am approximating this as density of states at the Fermi energy. And then I still have integral d psi 1 over 2 psi minus energy. Now the limits, we'll see this integral later on also. And there, the limits of integration are going to be different because we are going to assume that there are many Cooper pairs. But for the moment, we are looking at a much simpler problem. We are assuming that we have filled Fermi C and we have 2 electrons outside this Fermi C. So this integral over energy, we are going to integrate from 0 to h bar omega c. So you can see where this integral comes from. It comes from basically the sum over k prime. So the values of k prime these Cooper pairs can take is more than kf. That's where the limit zero comes from. That we are restricting that the kinetic energy that these 2 electrons can take must have wave vector greater than kf. So we start from 0 and we integrate till h bar omega c. Any questions?
What is h bar omega c?
So this is a cutoff energy that we have chosen, and that limits the range of interactions in the energy window, range for this attractive interactions. You can think of this omega c as the frequency scale or energy scale coming from phonons, for example. So why we have attractive interactions? Because of phonons. But phonons have some frequency. So there is an energy scale associated with these interactions.
Would that be the Debye frequency?
Yes. Like yes.
So omega C is the Debye frequency?
Yeah, you can think of it as the Debye frequency. Yep.
So that equation is saying that there's only an interaction if the... What is that equation saying?
So this equation, this on-shell approximation, is saying that two electrons, they see or they interact with each other via an attractive interaction only if both of them have energy within a small energy window of h bar omega c or Debye frequency around Fermi energy.
It doesn't matter that it's around the Fermi energy instead.
Because all the states, because we are in the problem itself, we have two electrons in the presence of non-interacting Fermi C. If we don't have this Fermi C, electrons can take any K values.
Yeah.
So the role of Fermi C is to block all single particle states till KF.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, how do the phonons know about the Fermi energy?
So phonons just provide you an energy scale, and the system will choose the lowest possible energy. And if you have a filled Fermi C, it cannot go below EF. And what this energy would be depends on the size of the system or crystal structure, mass of the ion. So we calculated this Debye frequency, right? So typically, if you put in the numbers for lattice, assuming, say, a lattice constant for niobium or lead or aluminum or some element, some solid, you would get that Debye frequency is typically much smaller than the Fermi energy. But for the moment, you can think of this as some cutoff. So the idea is that the idea of superconductivity or just this pairing mechanism can be extended to many other different physical problems. So just an assumption that there is a new energy scale which decides whether the interactions are irrelevant or not. So you can think of this as a new energy scale or as the energy scale that decides whether these attractive interactions are relevant for the Hamiltonian or not. And in the problem for superconductivity, this energy scale is given by phonons.
Well, if the Fermi C is filled, why can the epsilon K still smaller than epsilon F?
So epsilon K is this. K must be greater than KF. So this 2 psi K has to be greater than 2 times EF. But because we have attractive interactions, we can compensate. So you can still form a bound state of 2 electrons, which are composed of KF or K, which is larger than KF, but still the total energy of this bound system is lower than 2 times EF. Yes. Oh, sorry. So now this integral we can perform. This is just a logarithmic. So we have GEF by 2 and then E minus 2 h bar omega c by E. So now we can solve this equation, and what we'll find is that E is 2 h bar omega c times 1 minus E to the power 2 over G E F times V inverse. And this can further be approximated as, so this we can see from here. This is just an algebraic way of rewriting the solution. What you can do is, this you can write as 2h bar omega c. So here you can ignore so the approximation now we are going to make in this step is that GEF times V is much smaller than 1. So any questions about approximations till this stage? So next we are going to make an approximation that says density of states at the Fermi energy multiplied by the strength of this interaction is much smaller than 1. This approximation also has a name. It's basically called weak coupling limit. Now, with this approximation, you can ignore basically this 1. And you will get that this bound state is 2h bar omega c exponential of, now you will have minus 2 divided by g e f, let me write it differently, exponential minus 2 divided by g
V. The minus sign? We have a minus sign in your asking.
Oh yeah. Thank you. That is crucial. I want this energy to be negative. So now we have calculated the binding energy for two electrons which are attracted to each other via this interaction V. Any questions so far? Now, what we have calculated already gives us some insight. So we assume that this attractive interaction is relevant only within an energy window of h bar omega c, which is the phonon energy scale. Using this approximation, we calculated that the bound state of two electrons will have an energy which is much smaller than h bar omega c. This quantity is much smaller than 1. So this quantity is much smaller than h bar omega c. Right? So this sets another energy scale for the problem. And this energy scale will later be, or this binding energy will later be defined in terms of what is called order parameter for the superconducting transition. Any questions so far? So this toy problem itself provides us great insight. This really shows that if you have attractive interaction, you can have a bound state of two electrons. The electrons forming this bound state have kinetic energy greater than which is represented by wave vectors greater than kf. Still, the total energy of this two electron state is lower than 2 times ef. And this is possible because you have attractive interaction. So this contribution minus V cancels the excess kinetic energy you have over Kf, over epsilon F. Another thing you can see is that this binding energy expression, it really has 1 over v here. So it is not analytic when v goes to 0. This was one of the reasons why this, or the problem of superconductivity was so hard. Because if you just do a perturbation, we are assuming weak coupling limit. But if you just do perturbation theory, you will never get this result. So it's not analytic at v equal to 0. So what this tells us is that if you have a non-interacting filled Fermi, you put two electrons, they attract with each other, they will form a bound state and lower the total energy of the system. Total energy of the system means total energy of all the electrons in the Fermi plus two additional electrons. Now, from this, we can push it a bit further. Why don't electrons at the Fermi itself pair up and lower down the energy of the system? And this can keep happening again and again. Now, once you form bound state of electrons, these are no longer fermions. These are bosons, and they are not restricted by Pauli principle also. So this represents an instability in the system. So the statement that we can make after this analysis is that the Fermi is unstable due to these attractive interactions. So what will happen is Fermi tries to ensure that there is no single particle state that electrons can take below KF, below EF. All the states are occupied. What this attractive interaction does is provides a way to minimize the total energy by removing electrons from the Fermi surface altogether. So you remove the electrons from the Fermi sea, you pair them up, they are bosons, and you lower down the system energy. You can keep doing this, you can keep forming pairs till you have a finite binding energy, till you can gain some energy. There will come a point when you can no longer gain any energy. And that will happen, for example, if GEF goes to 0, then the binding energy goes to 0. What that means is if you keep pairing all the electrons from the Fermi sea, there will come a point when there are no electrons left. How did you arrive at Fermi sea? By taking total n electrons and filling them all up. If you remove many electrons from the surface, you've reduced down the total number of single particles in the system. Rest have gone in Cooper pairs. So you've actually destroyed, when you are pairing the electrons, you're lowering down the system energy, and at the same time, you're also destroying the Fermi surface. And there will come a point when there are no states left at the Fermi sea, and then Fermi energy, and then the binding energy will go to 0, and the system will reach some equilibrium. Any questions so far? So next, what we have to do is we have to write down a state of many electrons that now contains many Cooper pairs. Right? So we start with this toy problem. We had one Cooper pair, two electrons above non-interacting Fermi, and we concluded that the best way for system, in the presence of attractive interaction, the most energetically favorable thing to do is to pair up all the electrons at the Fermi. So let's write down. So next, I'm going to use the second quantized notation that we spent some time so far familiarizing ourselves. So I can write down the wave function. Thank you. So what I'm writing down here is wave function for Cooper pair in terms of second quantized notation. An important thing here is to see that I have created two electrons, one with k up, and the other one must be with minus k down. So these k and minus k, they are relative momentums of two electrons. So this Cooper pair has zero center of mass momentum. F here is the Fermi C. So this is wave function representing this problem in second quantized notation. Any questions so far? Now we can discuss another thing from here, which is in real systems, in real crystals, you may have some disorder. What that means is that the system is no longer translationally invariant. That means that momentum is not a good quantum number. P square does not commute with the Hamiltonian anymore. If momentum is not a good quantum number, you cannot really, what is this sum over k? It's over quantum number. You cannot use k as a quantum number. So what happens in this case is a concept that was developed by Anderson. It's called dirty superconductors. What that means is if you have a superconductor, so that momentum is not a good quantum number, you can still form Cooper pairs if you make sure that the two electrons that are forming the Cooper pair are time-reversed partners of each other. So the quantity of interest that is relevant here is that this electron has k up, and this electron is time-reversed partner of this electron. It has momentum minus k and spin down. So even if you have superconductors, materials that have disorder, you will still see superconductivity, and the Cooper pairs formed in these materials or in these dirty superconductors would be Cooper pairs with electrons which are time reverse partners of each other. And these spin indices up and down, they also signify that the Cooper pair is in spin singlet state. Yes.
Can you say, are you talking specifically about like specific types of materials where translation invariance is lost, or?
Any material that has disorder, for example.
Some sort of amorphous.
Yep.
Kind of thing. Okay.
Or say, we have translational invariance. Say you have an impurity, and then or a delta function kind of. So you have any potential that breaks translation invariance. It's actually very common, more common than having a perfectly clean crystal. Any questions so far? So next, our task is to write down ground state of a system that has many of these Cooper pairs. And this is not as straightforward as it seems. So let's try to extend this further, or let's just try to use this way of writing down. So this is one Cooper pair. An obvious way to write down a state with large number of Cooper pairs is to just act with this over the state where you want to create the Cooper pairs many number of times. So let me write down a state psi n. And so this is one Cooper pair. I'm going to act it n by 2. And now this is, say, true vacuum. So now I'm talking, so this is the wave function for the Cooper problem. We have learned a lot from this Cooper problem. And with this insight, now move on to a different system. Say we have n electrons and we want to write down a state of n electrons such that it has n by 2 Cooper pairs. Such a state I can write like this. So I start from vacuum, and I create n by 2 Cooper pairs. Right? Any questions? Now, this seems like a reasonable state, but let's try to calculate how many values of psi k you need to know for such a system, if you put in realistic numbers. So we saw how many values. So in last week, several times, we calculated how many values that momentum or quasi-momentum can take. And we concluded that even if you restrict it within Brillouin zone, first Brillouin zone, it will typically take capital N values, where capital N is the number of ions in the system, and so on. So let's say that the number of values that this K can take is M. So K can take some M values. So the number of ways you can create n by 2 Cooper pairs, when each Cooper pair can be created with momentum k that can take m values, is simply going to be m factorial divided by n by 2 factorial, m minus n by 2 factorial. Now, when you put in numbers like m and n, m to be 10 to the power 20, n by 2 to be half of 10 to the power 20, this number comes out to be 10 to the power 10 to the power 20. So if I want to use that wave function and do some calculation for the superconducting ground state, that wave function has these many coefficients. That's a bit ridiculous. That's not going to work out in our favor. So we need to develop a new way of writing down the wave function. The idea here is to relax the condition that total number of electrons is conserved. So what we are going to, which is equivalent to saying that we are working in grand canonical ensemble. So we are going to assume that the number of electrons is not conserved. Another way of saying this is, remember this picture of mean field theory, where you have many electrons, that is like the system we have. In mean field theory, you take one electron, all other electrons you can ignore, and you include their effect by some average. So the idea is you relax the condition that total number of particles is fixed. You assume that the average number of particles is fixed. So you include the presence of all other electrons as some average number of electrons that will be given by n bar. So the idea is to replace the effect of all other electrons with some average. So we'll assume some average density of electrons. Any questions? Let's see how this helps. So now we are going to write down a wave function that does not have fixed number of electrons. In fact, what BCS said is, let's take a wave function which has superposition of all possible number of Cooper pairs. So let's write down the BCS wave function. So I'm going to use this notation G. When I write psi G, It's basically the ground state proposed by BCS. So this I'm going to write as exponential sum over k. So now following notation with the book, and so this we call psi k for one Cooper pair. Let me call for this state by the quantity g, just to make sure we are now talking about a different system. It's not the Cooper simplified Cooper problem, but it's the full superconducting system that we are interested in. So I'm just going to gk, tk up dagger, c minus k down, acting on vacuum. Now you can see, by expanding this exponential, the first term is just the vacuum. The second term is one Cooper pair. Then you have a term that has two Cooper pairs. Then you have a term with three Cooper pairs, and so on. So you have a superposition. The state of the system, or this BCS state, is a superposition of many terms with varying number of Cooper pairs. So the total number is not, or the number operator is not fixed. So total number of particles is not fixed. Later on, we will write down the Hamiltonian that describes these interactions, and we can check, or we will verify, that the number operator does not commute with the BCS reduced Hamiltonian. Yes?
Your vacuum, is it vacuum or is it permissive?
So right now it's vacuum. So now I'm assuming that there is an instability, and now I'm writing down the ground state of a superconductor where all electrons have been paired up. So it's the true vacuum for electrons. So this we can expand. So first, this sum, I can write it as a product outside. And then I have an exponential gk, ck up dagger, c minus k down dagger. Sorry, there is a dagger. Now that this product is outside, you can expand this exponential, and this exponential, you will find out that it's this. There are only two terms now that you have to worry about. So here, what I've used is C K sigma dagger squared is zero. Now, what BCS said is we can use this form and write this. Let's write it in the following way. UK, so we are writing down G. Instead of GK, we will have two variables, UK and VK. The reason is that now the meaning of UK and VK is transparent. What that means is mod UK square. This is the probability that you do not have a Cooper pair in state k up and minus k down. Mod VK square is the probability that states
k up and minus k down. These are occupied. And mod uk square is the probability that these states, both of them, are empty.
So let's look at this wave function. It has product over many k's, which are different quantum numbers. For each k, you have a term uk plus vk times this. This is the term that is creating Cooper pair. So mod vk square is the probability that the states k up and minus k down are occupied. Mod uk square is the probability that you have not created a Cooper pair. That means k up and minus k down states are empty. Any questions?
So the probability that they're empty is 1.
Is mod uk square. So we'll have mod uk square plus mod vk square. This quantity must be 1.
Right.
So I started with this. I started with this gk, and now I'm rewriting the problem in terms of two coefficients. So this is going to be the wave function that I would be interested in.
You're pulling out a normalization factor?
You can think of it that way, yeah. Okay. So where we are headed is we are going to do a variational calculation. What that means is these uk and vk are going to be variational parameters. So the way this calculation works is you guess the wave function, and you minimize the ground state energy, and you find your variational wave functions. So a lot of insight goes in guessing the wave function, and this seems like a more physical way of writing down the wave function, which makes more physical way because it clearly tells us that for a given value of k, uk square is the probability that you have not created a Cooper pair at that value of k, and vk square is the probability that you have created. If you have created a Cooper pair, then mod vk square is going to be 1, and uk square is going to be 0. But we are going to treat them as variational parameters. So for a given k, we'll have a finite probability of creating a Cooper pair and a finite probability of not creating a Cooper pair. Any questions? Now, to do computations or calculations with this ground state, it's easier to write down this thing in the same state psi g in another notation. So 0, 0, k. Let this be a state where so this 0, 0 denotes the 0 occupation number for k up and 0 occupation number for minus k down. One, one, k is when both of them are occupied. So with this notation, I can write down the BCS ground state as product over k, uk 0, 0, k plus vk 1, 1, so these are just, here we have these operators. So if you want, you can deal with these operators. But instead of this, I go to a different basis where I can write down the state like this. Any questions? There are equivalent ways of writing down the state.
Why not just write 0 and 1? Why 0, 0, and 1, 1?
So this will become clear because these are really different quantum numbers, right? So we do need, it's a two-particle, also it signifies that we have two-particle state. We're talking about a two-particle wave function.
So we're going to deal with wave functions that have only one of them occupied?
Never.
Okay.
Well, if say you have odd number of electrons, maybe. But you, if there is no one of them occupied, so it's a wave function that represents pair. Either both will be empty or both will be one. So that's the idea. Yep. Now, let's write down vacuum in this notation. The vacuum in this notation is simply right? So the vacuum is just product over all zeros. You can also see now that this state is now, it's easy to check that it's normalized. So what we did, and well, this constraint here ensures that this is normalized. So you can take the state, take the bra, and multiply. Then for each k, you will get mod uk square plus vk square. So you have product of over many ones, which is one. Any questions? So now we can calculate some quantities. Let's calculate the average number or the expectation value of the number operator. So we can calculate n bar, which is the expectation value of the number operator. Now the expectation value is taken in the BCS state, psi g. So what I want to calculate is psi g, the number operator, that's total number of particles, is sum over k, ck up, dagger ck up, plus c minus k down, dagger c minus k down. So this is how I define my number operator that basically counts. So we have already seen that electrons are either they have state k up or they are in state minus k down. And I want to add all of them. So this is my total number operator. Now I can see from this notation that c dagger c will contribute only. So you have this annihilation operator. Whenever it acts on vacuum, it will kill it. So you can get contribution from number operators only when you have, when you act on this 1-1 state. In fact, this will, if this gives you an occupation number 1, if this picks out an occupation number 1, this term must pick out an occupation number 1 also. So this is actually simply written as 2 times. So I'm just going to write it different ways because we may use it later on. So this can be written as 2 times sum over k, ck up, dagger ck up, which is simply 2 times sum over k mod vk squared. Similarly, I can calculate expectation value of n squared.
what I will find is that n square is 4 times sum over k vk square plus 4 times sum over k, k prime not equal to k, mod vk square, vk prime squared. Now I can calculate the deviation of the number of electrons. So what I'm interested in is calculating delta n, or the root mean square deviation. So what I'm interested in is n minus n bar square. This is basically expectation value of n square minus n bar square. We will find that this is 4 times sum over k mod vk square minus mod vk to the power 4. And this would simply be written as, so vk square and uk square. So the reason I'm writing these expressions here now, you can go through the algebra. It is easier to do it by writing it down the state like this. The reason I'm writing this is that we'll find that the deviation, that this quantity is actually going to be small. So the average number of particles and the total number of particles in the ground state, even though it seems like we have superposition of all Cooper pairs, any number of Cooper pairs, when we calculate in this state this root mean square deviation, this will be small. So we have n bar and small deviations around the average number. Any questions so far? So next, we discussed a lot about the state that we are going to use for the variational calculation. Next, we need to write down the Hamiltonian that we are going to calculate the ground state using that Hamiltonian, and then minimize the energy, the expectation value of this Hamiltonian. So to write down the Hamiltonian, we need to make further simplifications. So let me write down the Hamiltonian that BCS used, and then I will justify why that makes sense. So we'll call, let me just write down the Hamiltonian first. So this Hamiltonian has the kinetic energy term, which involves all momentum. And now here comes the pairing term. This is referred to as BCS pairing Hamiltonian, and this is the Hamiltonian that we are going to use. We'll calculate the expectation value of this Hamiltonian in this ground state. We'll get something that will be a function of UK and VK, and then we are going to minimize it. Now, why does this Hamiltonian make sense? It is an assumption
that this Hamiltonian contains all terms that are relevant for superconductivity. Now, you remember the Hamiltonian that we derived for electron-electron interactions mediated by phonons? That had three sums over momentum, K, K prime, and Q. They have thrown out a lot of terms. The only term they have kept in the Hamiltonian is an interaction term that has specific choice of spin indices and the momentum, center of mass momentum, zero. So this term, this interaction term, only contains terms that has two incoming electrons with center of mass momentum zero. So two incoming electrons, K prime and minus K prime, and they are scattered into two electrons with K and minus K, again with center of mass momentum zero. So the assumption BCS are making is out of the infinitely many, or depending on how many values of K the system can take, of those many terms, this is the term that is relevant for superconductivity. And it turns out it is the case. And the reason or why they chose this, again, the motivation is from the Cooper problem. We saw that to minimize just two electrons, it's better to choose the center of mass momentum zero. So motivated by this insight, they wrote down this Hamiltonian. Any questions? So now we have to do a bit of algebra that is just calculating the state. It's really straightforward. And I'm going to just write down the main steps. So what we need to calculate, so let's look at this quantity. This is fairly easy. If I want to calculate, so another thing is what we will calculate is derivative or variation of psi g h minus mu n psi t. We'll demand that this is zero, such that this quantity is minimized. What this minus mu times n does, n is the number operator, which is ck sigma dagger ck sigma. What this quantity does is, instead of epsilon k, you will have epsilon k minus mu. I will define epsilon k minus mu as psi k. So to calculate this quantity or minimize that quantity, I need to calculate psi k, ck sigma dagger ck sigma. Now, this psi g is in front of us here. So we have annihilation operator first. So we will pick up a factor of vk for that particular value of k. And then we create it again. So if you look at this ck sigma, take the case when sigma is up. So what it will do, let me write down, just here, let me write down what this psi g really is. So what this psi g is I have uk1 0, 0, k1 plus vk1 1, 1, k1. I have many such products. And then one of them is going to be k, uk0, 0, 0, k plus vk 1, 1, k, and so on. Now, this k sigma operator is not going to do anything on the other quantum numbers, but it will act on this value of k. It will destroy, if sigma is up, it is going to destroy a state k up. So you will get 0, 1 here. But then you create it again, you'll get 1, 1. And you will get this factor vk square. And now the spin sigma here is a dummy index. If you do, you can do the same for downspin. You will get the same value. So this just turns out to be a factor of 2 for spin, sum over k, psi k, mod vk square. Any questions? Now we can also let's calculate the value of this state. Now here you see you have CK prime annihilation. So you will choose, it will do nothing for most of the quantum numbers, but when you have the K prime quantum number, you will annihilate one electron, you will annihilate K prime up. So this, it can only act on VK. So let me write down C minus K prime down, C K prime up, acting on psi G. This will do nothing on these. But the one with K prime, it will annihilate both of them, and you will get V K prime 0, 0 K prime. So this term, it annihilates K prime up, and it also annihilates minus K prime down. So you will get, it can only act on this. K prime up will give you V K prime 0, 1. Minus K prime down will give you V K prime 0, 0. Now, you have these two terms. These are creation operators. You can think of these two terms. Any questions so far? Yes?
How do you still have a UK 0, 0 term if you're acting on it with a lowering operator?
So I have this product state. You can think of this as product over many quantum numbers, like a direct product. And this operator does nothing to states that have different quantum number k. So it will commute with all the other operators. So the reason I write in this notation is just to simplify the calculation. Otherwise, I will have, you can really start from vacuum. From vacuum, you will have many creation operators with k1, k2, k3, and till all of k values, and all of those operators, it will be commuting, but the, or sorry, anti-commuting, but the k prime one. Yes, any question? Now you can see that for this term, this is only k prime. The other two operators are acting with k. Those two operators acting on psi g, if I now calculate all four, ck up dagger, c minus k down dagger, and let's calculate the general case. Where k and k prime are different. So again, I will have uk1, 0, 0, k1, plus vk1, 1, 1, k. I'll have many values. Now, this one is only going to act with momentum quantum number k. And this can only create if you started with the empty one. So it will give you uk, and it will create two particles. So you'll get uk, 1, 1, k. And then you have this term, v, k prime, 0, 0, k prime, and so on. Now, when you take the brow of this and to multiply with this, you would say that for this UK, you on the brow, you must have VK star. For this VK prime on the brow, you must have UK prime star. Right? So now I can write down this quantity delta psi g h minus mu n psi g. This really is minimizing sum over k. Mod VK square. If you have any confusion about U's or V's, please ask. I hope they look different. This is VK square. And then you're going to have contribution from this term. So you have plus sum over K, K prime. And then you're going to have UK VK star, UK prime star, VK prime. Sorry, I forgot VKK prime. Any questions? So now because we have this constraint, mod UK square, mod VK square is equal to 1. We can use this trick. Let's define UK as sine theta k. And let VK be cosine theta k. In terms of this, what you really have to do now is, in terms of this, you can write psi g h minus mu n. By the way, this mu is nothing but Fermi energy. You may have already guessed. So at zero temperature, mu is same as the Fermi energy. And right now we are doing this calculation at zero temperature. So now what we are left with is take del over del theta, let's label it k double prime of this quantity. And set it to zero. So I've just redefined variables. So to minimize, you have to be a bit careful. So I'm choosing this to be a different k symbol, theta k double prime. I'll get a contribution from this term. So this basically implies I have minus 2 psi k double prime sine 2 theta k double prime. Plus I will have two contributions from here, one from k equal to k double prime, and one from k prime equal to k double prime.
Next, I'm going to assume that VKK prime is same as VK prime K. In fact, later on, we are going to make on-shell approximation where VKK prime does not depend on K at all. So we can combine these two terms, and the equation that we arrive at for minimizing the ground state energy is tangent 2 theta K is equal to sum over K prime VKK prime sine 2 theta K prime So I have to solve this equation for theta, and that is going to give us the ground state. So we wrote down the ground state. It has, in terms of UK and VK, if we know UK and VK for each K, we know the ground state of the superconductor. So our task now is to solve this equation. Now, this equation is slightly tricky. As you can see, theta appears on both sides, right? So this can be taken care of, and we will do this in a different notation. So now I'm going to define a new quantity, which we are going to call, so let me stop here. So we have continuity tomorrow. So let's look at this equation. We do see that theta appears on both sides of the equation. So it's not a straightforward equation to solve. In fact, this is going to give rise to what is called the gap equation for the superconductor, and we'll solve it tomorrow.